KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
And at 8 o'clock, it's partly to mostly cloudy, 46 degrees here in Atlantic. We look forward to be partly cloudy today, a high of 64. Good morning, I'm Rick Henson with KJAN News, brought to you by Robinson True Value Hardware, serving Southwest Iowa with the best hardware for over 70 years. Atlantic Parks and Recreation Director Roger Herring Wednesday updated the City Council on various projects his department has completed over the past year and those still to come. Herring, who succeeded Travis Garrett as the Parks Director about 10 months ago, said among the projects completed was the Bull Creek Pathway, which was finished last fall and includes a new 8-foot-wide asphalt surface that's about 5 inches thick.
Prior to the installation, the park staff did some major clearing of brush, volunteer trees, and basic cleaning up of the area along the pathways from 14th Street to Olive. We got a good start of clearing up the path from 14th Street south to Olive, which is behind the old Y area. We did not get that totally completed yet, but it will get done first thing in May before we move on to other projects.
Herring said the Parks Department has since received many favorable comments from the public about the cleanup and work done along that trail. He says also numerous improvements have been made to Sunnyside Park, with still more to come. The improvements over the last year have included the resurfacing of the park's roads and the addition of disc golf, which Herring says continues to be a huge attraction for out-of-town groups and individuals during the summer and fall.
There's a group that weekly comes to Atlantic from Council Bluffs. And there's another group that comes from Carroll and makes the trek. And it's a group of senior players, and so they come and they really enjoy that because it's a real challenge. And again, I think it's listed as one of the top 12 courses in Iowa, so it's one to be proud of.
In addition, the Lake Number 1 Trail at the Shilbrook Recreation Area was completed last fall. The trail, he said, added another 0.4 mile to the existing 1.1-mile trail around Lake Number 3. Herring says he hopes to establish a link on the city's official website showing a map of all the trails around that recreation area. You can view that map on our website at kjan.com by using the search tab to find our March 20th story on summer rec programs and Shilbrook improvements. Herring says the trails are being heavily used from dawn to dusk, especially with the recent warm weather.
If you've gone out there on any given day, and I'll just use last Sunday as an example, which was obviously a gorgeous day. It was 80-some degrees, and the place was packed. The west parking lot was full. You couldn't hardly get a parking place there. There were 6 cars on the east end as well, and there was people of all shapes, sizes, ages, and 4-legged critters on leashes all over the place as well. So it's being utilized, and it's really an enjoyable place to be.
More than a dozen benches have also been added around the lakes of the recreation area. Herring pointed out that most of the projects in the Shilbrook Quarry Recreation Area have been accomplished with volunteer efforts, such as time and labor, and without much expenditure of city funds.
One thing that the Shilbrook Committee has kept at the forefront through all of their conversations and all of their brainstorming has been that we want to do it. We want to take little steps, even though we have a couple major goals in mind. We wanted to raise public awareness, and we didn't have any money, and we haven't spent any city funds. We haven't spent any city money. And yes, my staff has gone out there. We've gone out there. We've mowed, obviously. We've done some other things. We've moved trees around, pushed dead logs and everything else to beautify the place, but we have not gone out and purchased and used or expended money in that respect.
Projects on the drawing board or in the works include the addition of a campground at the Shilbrook Recreation Area and an off-leash dog park, additional improvements to Sunnyside Park, which includes new fencing at the softball field, new grills and or fire pits for the cookouts at the shelter, repairs to the kitty corral shelter, reconstruction of the tennis courts later this summer or early fall, restroom repairs and necessary upgrades at the Sunnyside pool also. And there will be new playground equipment purchased for and installed at the Pellet and Holt Parks. And finally, there will be eventually a new Parks and Rec Department office and maintenance building at Sunnyside Park. News time is 8:04.
Shop Robinson's True Value Hardware, your oldest downtown hardware store in Atlantic. They've been providing the same dependable quality service and quality merchandise for over 70 years at the same location. So come down to Robinson's True Value for all of your hardware needs. They've got paint for any surface and hardware for any purpose. And for all of your shipping and packaging needs, they ship via UPS. That's Robinson True Value Hardware Store at 325 Chestnut in downtown Atlantic. Or give them a call at 243-4667.
The City Council in Walnut will hold a public hearing during their meeting this evening with regard to a development agreement between the city and Lynn Driver, who has plans to add on to a new restaurant on the site of the old Villager restaurant near the interstate. The council has been talking about providing Driver with tax increment payments as an incentive to build Emma Jean's restaurant. The restaurant is currently open and serves pizza and sandwiches, but Driver wants to expand it so it becomes a full-service business and have a bigger menu. Following the hearing, the council will consider action on adopting a resolution approving the development agreement. In other business, the Walnut City Council will hear the results of a youth survey, discuss nuisances, and the possible development of a sand volleyball court at Fireman's Park, and review and update the city's infrastructure needs study and strategic plans. Their meeting begins at the council's chambers at 5 o'clock. A Messina man was hit with pepper spray and taken into custody after he was pulled over Tuesday night for driving under suspension. Cass County Chief Deputy Sheriff John Westring said yesterday that Deputy Josh McLaren had attempted to stop 52-year-old Barry Dean Schmidt of Messina at around 7:35 p.m. near 700th and Richland Road. Schmidt, who was driving a pickup truck, failed to comply and was pursued by the deputy until the truck stopped near the county shed at about 720th and Richland. Westring said Schmidt refused numerous instructions by McLaren to show his hands once the vehicle was stopped. Several surrounding law enforcement agencies were called to provide backup. Eventually, McLaren deployed pepper spray and Schmidt was taken into custody. He was also treated at the scene for exposure to the pepper spray. Schmidt faces charges, which includes interference with official acts, eluding, driving under suspension, and third offense OWI. He appeared before the magistrate Wednesday morning and had initially been unable to post a $6,000 bond. He was being held in the Cass County Jail pending payment of that bond. Also, the Atlantic Police Department reported yesterday three people were arrested this week. On Tuesday, 28-year-old Cheryl Knight was arrested for OWI and eluding, and 29-year-old William Ancherson was arrested for driving while suspended. On Monday, 27-year-old Jill Hanselman was arrested for driving while suspended as well. All three are from Atlantic. Hanselman and Ancherson were cited for their alleged offenses and released while Knight was booked into the Cass County Jail. Mills County Sheriff's Department Wednesday morning released additional details about an ATV accident that occurred over the weekend. During the incident last Saturday, a 4-year-old Henderson boy was critically injured. Officials say at around 7:15 p.m. on March 31st, sheriff's deputies, along with Henderson Fire and Rescue and Macedonia Rescue, were dispatched to 206 Southwest Street in Henderson after a report was received about a child being hit by a four-wheeler. After rescuers arrived, they determined the victim, Colby Clint, was critically injured. LiveNet helicopter was called to transport the boy to Creighton University Medical Center. The driver of the ATV was identified as Garrett Horgdahl of Henderson. Deputies obtained a search warrant for a blood specimen from Horgdahl to determine the level of alcohol in his system. The child remains hospitalized and the incident remains under investigation. A prosecutor said a mother convicted of a high-profile Western Iowa murder wrote a letter detailing the crime scene to a Wisconsin sex offender in an attempt to solicit testimony to back up her self-defense claims. Tracy Richter has claimed her 2001 shooting of Dustin Weedy was in self-defense during a home invasion in the Sac County community of Early. The jurors in November sided with prosecutors who argued that Richter killed Weedy in a plot to implicate her first husband in a murder-for-hire scheme. Jailers copied one letter Richter wrote to Wisconsin inmate James Landa that showed diagrams of the home where the shooting happened and where the car where evidence was found. The letter included information about the victim and others Richter claims were involved. Prosecutor Ben Smith said Richter was seeking testimony to win a new trial. And a man convicted of killing his wife in Western Iowa in 1982 has died in prison. The Corrections Department said 70-year-old Roy Bales died Tuesday at the Iowa Medical and Classification Center in Coralville. Department spokesman Fred Scaletta said Bales died as a result of several health problems, including congestive heart failure. Bales was convicted of first-degree murder in Harrison County in August of 1982 and sentenced to life in prison. Assistant County Attorney Judson Frisk said Bales was found guilty of killing his wife, Darlene. Frisk, who was the county attorney at the time, says Bales beat up his wife and drove her to a county road where he stabbed her and hid the body in a tube under a gravel road. Taking a look at our national news headlines at this hour, the number of people seeking U.S. unemployment benefits is at a four-year low. The government says applications dropped by 6,000 last week as layoffs slow and the job market strengthens. The four-week average, a less volatile measure, fell to below 362,000, also the lowest in 6 months. Actually, in the last 4 years, and the average has fallen nearly 13% in the past 16 months. Retailers are reporting the recent warm weather and demand for new spring fashions helped to push March sales up. Target, Macy's, and the limited brands are among those reporting better than expected sales. Still, there are some patches of weakness as worry over high gas prices and unemployment kept some spending muted. Teen retailers, The Buckle and Wet Seal, missed their expectations. An effort by the Justice Department to clean up the New Orleans Police Department won't end with yesterday's sentencing of five former officers to prison terms of up to 65 years. They'd been convicted in the deadly shootings of unarmed residents after Hurricane Katrina. Still ahead are more negotiations between the city and federal officials on a consent decree that will impose reforms on New Orleans police. News time is 8:10.
Shop Robinson's True Value Hardware, your oldest downtown hardware store in Atlantic. They've been providing the same dependable quality service and quality merchandise for over 70 years at the same location. So come down to Robinson's True Value for all of your hardware needs. They've got paint for any surface and hardware for any purpose. And for all of your shipping and packaging needs, they ship via UPS. That's Robinson True Value Hardware Store at 325 Chestnut in downtown Atlantic. Or give them a call at 243-4667.
In the funeral announcements, Jean Mollett, age 91, of Atlantic, died Monday. Services for Jean Mollett will be today at 10 o'clock at the Roland Funeral Home in Atlantic. Robert Bob Volk, age 84, of Atlantic, died Tuesday. Services for Bob Volk will be Saturday at 10 o'clock at Zion Lutheran Church in Atlantic. Roland Funeral Home in Atlantic has arrangements. Wilma Rubel, age 94, of Audubon, died Tuesday. Funeral services for Wilma Rubel will be Saturday at 10:30 at the First Presbyterian Church in Audubon. Hockenberry England Funeral Home in Audubon has arrangements. Leona Wyatt Heilig, age 79, of Avoca, died Monday. Funeral services for Leona Wyatt Heilig will be Saturday at 10:30 at the Pauly Jones Funeral Home in Avoca. Dennis Rote, age 61, of Dexter, died Sunday in Des Moines. A memorial celebration for Dennis Rote will be Monday at 10:30 at the Dexter United Methodist Church. Johnson Family Funeral Home in Stewart has arrangements. Eleanor Yeager, age 97, of Coon Rapids, died Tuesday. Funeral services for Eleanor Yeager will be held April 21st at 11 a.m. at the First Christian Church in Coon Rapids. Johnson Woodhouse Funeral Home in Coon Rapids has arrangements. And Richard Rick Myers, Jr., age 54, of Manning, died Saturday. Memorial services for Rick Myers, Jr. will be held at a later date. Hockenberry England Funeral Service in Audubon has the arrangements. That's a check of our news and funeral announcements brought to you by Robinson True Value Hardware, serving Southwest Iowa with the best hardware for over 70 years. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.